Lincoln Riley press conference yesterday. Now, one thing he did not do, Pat, was name a starter for Saturday, and he said he probably would not do that, you know, in the days leading up to the game. But I know you read Barry Trammell's piece, Pat, and basically what Tram is saying, you know, he called it a mob mentality, that a lot of OU fans are demanding a pound of flesh from Spencer Rattler and so forth. And maybe, you know, Tram is saying you can't, you know, draw great big conclusions off of a four-second video or off the video of some OU staff member leading Rattler up the ramp at the end of the game. A lot of people thought it was a bad look, that he wasn't celebrating with the team or he wasn't happy enough, you know, after Caleb Williams broke a long touchdown run. What are your thoughts on what you read from Tramp?
Well, I think, and we talked about this yesterday, if this youngster hadn't been engaged, you know what I mean, if he'd been off at the end of the bench kicking water buckets over and sitting there with these, you know, with a towel over his head or some kind of thing like that, I mean, the kid stayed engaged. They put him in for the two-point try. I thought somebody had told me, and I didn't watch the aftermath of that game, but that, you know, with the crowd rushing the field, you know, they didn't really have a real opportunity like they normally do of kind of getting everybody together for a impromptu team picture, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and trying to get some kids out of there. That gets hairy as far as crowd control and all these kinds of things about getting guys away and all. You know, you never, as far as somebody – the way they respond and their body language and everything, you can take it a whole lot of different ways. And again, I think the main thing is down there, and we talked about this before, I mean, from Bradford to White to, you know, Heisman Trophy, first guys picked, you know, all that is phenomenal. Even with, you know, Mayfield and Kyler, you know, and then you got Hurts come in there and all this kind of stuff and everything. And you know, that position there obviously is such a high-profile one in a high-profile party, and everybody's in all this kind of stuff. And you know, how's he supposed to act, and how's he supposed to respond, and all this? Now, you know, these things are no fun, you know. I mean, you obviously, you know, Coach Riley's got to do what he's got to do, and did. And I think we'll go ahead and do it. And you know, this is...
You made a change one time, Pat, where the circumstances might be a little bit different. I'm not saying they're the same.
Right.
But you had Ronnie Williams, and you had a young freshman named Mike Gundy, right?
Well, you know, and with Ronnie had been the backup to Rusty Hilger in 84, and then, you know, in 85, I thought Ronnie was one of the toughest guys. We go out there at Seattle and beat them on national television in about the third series. They broke Ronnie's jaw. You know, they hit him up under the chin, broke his jaw. And I think it was about a month later, might have been 3 weeks later, we're playing Nebraska on national television, and he threw for about 350 yards with his jaw wired shut. I still don't know how. I honestly don't know how we call plays, because the kid had his jaw wired shut. And he's out there, and now they beat us in a close game. But, I mean, Ronnie set, you know, he set some kind of record. There wasn't anybody around there that any of us had more respect for than Ronnie Williams. And he was very popular internally. Big buddies with Thurman and Hart Lee. Ronnie was very highly recruited out of Wichita Falls. And you know, I kept on wondering that, you know, as his career went on, you know, he'd throw a pick at – I'd see a few things that kind of started worrying me about, you know, him throwing interceptions at the wrong time. Not that he was just doing it all over the place. Then, and you know, we come back in 86 and we're rebuilding offensive line, rebuilding quite a few things. And he throws an interception for a touchdown. We got beat by a very average University of Houston team, did the same thing at Tulsa, you know, against, a, you know, a, I thought a very average Tulsa team. We throw a pick six. And, you know, in fact, then we got to that Houston ball game. I guess it was Tulsa first, then Houston.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light,
April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
And then, you know, we had talked about it. I had brought it up before, and actually, Mike was listed at number three. We had another kid from East Texas that was listed as number two. But, you know, this is one of the reasons you don't have depth charts or do what Riley did as far as making a quote-unquote announcement. You know, you don't want – but anyway, and I just told Mike, seriously, go at the halftime going up the ramp. I said, go find the center, get some snaps. I'll tell Coach Coker just to call what he thinks you know and let's go to work because you're the guy. You know, and he looked at me. I said, no, go. This is for real. Go. You know, so it was kind of a committee of one decision. And in all honesty, it didn't set well with Thurman and Hart and some of Ronnie's friends. Because, again, mm-hmm. Ronnie had gotten us into the Gator Bowl of 85. You know, and it doesn't, I mean, this, but you know, and I went over and had a sat down with those two and told them, said, you know, just kind of trust me on this deal because my responsibility to make sure this thing's going in the right direction. And we had a feeling about Mike, and a lot of it was had to do with his body language and with his people skills and how he interacted with those guys. I mean, we had, you know, Thurman Thomas and Mark Moore and all Americans around there, you know, everything, Dykes and them. And Mike just kind of blended all in, even though he was a freshman. Well, the rest of that's history. But, I mean, these are kind of, you know, and now the one difference is that we moved, and I told Ronnie Williams this, I said, we're gonna move you to wide receiver. I said, and Houston Nutt was coaching the receivers. And I told Nutt, I said, in which he was going to anyway, but I said, Houston, get him ready to play next week. I don't care what he knows. Just get him ready to play because we're putting him out there, okay? Because, we need to, for all the right reasons, the kid can help us. He's a big, talented guy and all that. Nutt did a great job with him. So the next week, whoever we played, Ronnie, you know, we're alternating receivers around there. Ronnie goes out and plays and has a good year at receiver and then goes and plays in the NFL. I coached him down there for a while in Miami as a tight end. He got bigger in all outdoors, wow. But I mean, he was a big man anyway. But, you know, was kind of a journeyman NFL tight end.
Yeah. But still,
you know, all those kind, but still, yeah, you know, it, all that. But these are, you know, particularly when it's a young man that you really care about, you know, and particularly one like you know, Rattler's highly recruited, because so was Williams. But, you know, all
so
these.
So the body language, Pat, mm-hmm. like Spencer Rattler, people right. are crucifying him for it.
Right.
I think that's wrong. But on the other hand, if you have really good body language or, mm-hmm. or leadership
yeah,
traits
sure.
and so forth.
Right.
It can definitely help and make a difference. And we do see some of that in Caleb Williams. You saw it in Gundy, right?
Yeah, well, at that position particularly, you know, because you are the center of attention and you just are, particularly down there and everything. And yeah, if you, you know, and everybody's a little bit different in just their mannerisms about things. And we talked about it on here. And I think it was obviously premature for, you know, and again, hey, I like Mel Kiper, but that was nonsense about coming out and saying this kid's going to be the first guy picked and all that. Mel doesn't know anyway most of the time, but from the standpoint of that, that was goofy. You know, and it just kind of puts undue pressure on this youngster and all of a sudden, wow, he's going to be the number. No. But from the standpoint of, you know, your mannerisms and your body language and all that is, particularly at that position, a part of it. It is.
Yeah.
So, you know,
hey, another thing real quick, Pat,
to
change subject from Lincoln Riley's press conference. He talked about a lot about Kennedy Brooks, and he told the story. He said, honestly, we almost didn't offer him coming out of high school because mm-hmm. he does have that different running style where, you know, he's patient, maybe
a little bit of a glider and all that.
Doesn't make many hard cuts and so forth, yeah.
Well, you know, you're again, if you're at OU, you're going to have your choice of a whole lot of quality backs. Now, depending on how many you want to take and all this, I could see that. You know, I could see. I mean, you know, there was some debate. There was a bunch of people wouldn't take Barry Sanders. You know,
that is true.
You know, but now different type of athlete and all this, but from the standpoint, I could see when I read that, I could see that. You know, and everything. It'll probably help them get Major back, not to change the. But that deal, you know.
Well, and he talked about that too. I mean, if nothing else, it gives you insurance where you don't feel so bad about giving Kennedy Brooks some more carries because you know you got a little,
you got, yeah,
you know,
You got to know
before the
Yeah, right.
Even Lincoln Riley said it was a nice surprise. I think even Lincoln Riley was surprised. He said a little unexpected, but
well,
but
hey, probably And no, I don't want to know. You know, maybe one. he's eligible. If the academic guy says, "Hey, he's eligible," just don't ask. Okay, you know. So anyway, but that'll help them.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.